the word. We're ready to get started. Again, Pastor Gary here at Streams Church. We're ready to rock and roll with a good word for you today. I know this is going to come off a little odd, but I've always was fascinated with Easter. You know, my mom, we celebrated Easter. It was every year. You know, she had these like insane egg hunts. Like, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, it was, you know, easy to find. But, you know, as I got older, you know, the basket was the big prize, which usually had like some kind of video game or something in it, right? But the Easter egg hunt was just like, it took almost the entire day. It was insane. She's a very good hider of the egg. But I was reflecting, on Easter and everything going on in this week, and the Lord really led me to dig in about the Easter egg. You know, not just where did it come from and what about it, but, you know, tradition, things like that, but there was just something that God wanted me to dig into. And so today we're going to really dig in to a kind of an interesting view and vantage of the Easter egg, because God's given me something really, really profound, and I hope you guys will appreciate it, especially today on this Resurrection Sunday. So we're just going to pray real quick. So, Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for the word that you've given us today, God, that you have come to deliver a message, God, to all who are listening online, all who are listening through our website, Father, and all who are listening, God, on YouTube, God, I pray, Father, that everybody who is hearing your word today, as it goes forth and accomplishes that what it's supposed to, God, would bring forth the revelation, God, of your word, the truth of who you are, God, and the understanding and complete fulfillment, God, of what you have accomplished for all mankind, so that we can all just be with you for all eternity, God. In all glory and splendor and majesty, we thank you, God, that your word does all of this for us, through us and in us, God, as we purpose it in our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's get started. All right. So, and if I'm looking down, I'm just looking down at my notes. So if you're wondering where I'm looking, that's all that's going on here. Okay? So Easter is a time for Christian believers. As a family, we unite. We usually have a big old ham dinner. I'm looking forward to some ham tonight myself. You know, and all those wonderful things. But we come together also this time, which unfortunately we're not able to do, as a family, right? And we reflect upon the resurrection of Jesus. Now, that message is never going to change. That message is still true today, and it will be true today, even in this message. So let's not lose sight, right? The empty tomb. That's what it was about. But it also brings about the message of Christ and his message of life through him. So there's more to it, right? It's not just the resurrection. It goes further, right? Yes, Easter is a great day for us believers, but something always seems to be left out. And this was my question earlier, right? The actual egg, the Easter egg, right? Where did this thing come from? You know, like I said earlier, going on, you know, my traditions, you know, we dyed the Easter eggs, you know, and all that stuff as kids. And, you know, then it just became the plastic eggs and that was the end of it. You know, the bunny and stuff, not even going to talk about the bunny. When I met Jess, my wife, and I got to know her family, there were different traditions, right? And so there were some really funny, cool traditions. One was the unbelievable story of, Pastor and Irene had done for Gary Michael, and the story is just absolutely fantastic, and I still love it, so I'm going to tell it today, along with some other stories about Easter, but I found this one to be quite comical because they did the Easter Bunny, and they had their baskets, and they had to find their eggs and all that wonderful stuff, but when they got to a certain age, the Easter Bunny was gone. And so they had to figure out, well, how do we explain the Easter Bunny was gone? So Gary Michael had to go find his Easter Bunny in his Easter basket, and they got a stuffed Easter Bunny, stuffed animal. And throughout the course of his scavenging and trying to find the Easter basket and all, there was cotton spread out. And when he finally found his basket, the Easter Bunny was ripped open and all the stuffing was out, and they put red dye around it and all that stuff, red food coloring around it, and made it seem like the Easter Bunny got attacked by the dog or something like that. And Gary Michael's Easter Bunny effectively died this one year. And, from what I was told, it was a very traumatizing experience because he grabbed the bunny rabbit and cried and ran into the room. And it's tragically sad, but also hysterically funny, for everybody else, I'm sure, who, was participating in that story. Gary Michael may not think that that was a great story, but to everybody else, it's comic and it's hysterical. But we all have traditions, and we have great traditions and memories, right, that we build with those traditions around Easter. But when it came to the egg, one of the traditions I found that Jess's family had that I thought was really interesting and awesome was a Ukrainian or a Polish tradition, which was the Pysanki egg. I never heard about a Pysanki egg prior to meeting Jess, even though I have Polish in me. And never had one. I never saw it. And these are very delicately painted and interestingly designed eggs. And they're beautiful. Very beautiful. And usually they're hollowed out and blown out. But there were some Pysanki eggs that Jess's grandmom had, that were not. And they were still very much a real egg. And they were probably years old. So these were very, very probably bad eggs that if you were to break them would be the foulest thing ever. And I wasn't around when one of these broke, but I was told that one of them had broken, 1 year, and it was just atrocious. The smell was so foul. But these are really traditions that a lot of families have about eggs and Easter. And there's all this coming together around Easter, and there's always this fascination with the egg. And I really, really was led, by God to investigate this some more, because I felt like the traditions and everything we have, there's a lot of focus on this egg. There's got to be more to it. And God showed me some things, and today I'm going to share them with you. So let's go into this. Okay. So let's start with the history, because it didn't just come out of thin air. Okay, so if you want to go and dig into your history books and you want to kind of find out maybe where this could be, just go ahead. You can research it online, do whatever. It's there, okay? But there's some interesting facts, and some of those facts are this, okay? First was, like I said, the Easter egg that we know is called the Paschal egg, okay? That's the way it was termed back then, okay? The early Christians in Mesopotamia, what they would do is they would actually dye the egg. So the egg would get dyed, and the dyeing color was actually not like a bunch of rainbow colors or all these different colors that we do today. It was consistently dyed red. And I found this to be very interesting. This was dyed red in honor of the blood of Christ, the blood that was shed on the cross. So the immediate identification of the egg to the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross was immediate. That was the very first identification of the Easter egg. And that is really profound. And I think that that's where we have to kind of go and say, there's more here. There's an investigation, something we have to dig into, because the church didn't do this out of a fun idea or something to get the kids interested. It was a serious thing. There was something that they were honestly focusing on and fixating, that the egg and Jesus, there's something here, right? So let's continue, all right? Then the early Christian church adopted this, okay? And what they did is they didn't dye the egg anymore, but they started teaching about it. And the teachings that they would teach was about the shell, okay? Because you would crack an egg and you would use an egg, and the egg would be done and you would have a shell. And at the end of that, the shell was left. The egg would be used. You consume it usually, right? You either scramble it or open face or maybe hard boil it or whatever you do with your eggs. But you would consume that. But the shell was left behind. And they adopted that as that's symbolic of the empty tomb. So now we're getting to the actual Sunday, Easter. Jesus has risen. The tomb is empty. And the early Christian church looks at the egg and they go, but look at the shell. The shell is empty. And so the tomb is empty. So you have this correlation. And I find that this is even more staggering to go, maybe we need to pay attention. There's something going on. Okay? All right. Then you get into the Roman ritual, okay, the Roman Catholic, they actually had a blessing, a specific blessing just for the egg, okay? So you have this carrying over now, and then you have it carried into now the further reaching of the full Catholic Church and the customs of the Catholic Church, right? Where now you go into the full-fledged Easter that we have, that we know today, right? The plastic eggs, the candy, the baskets, all the Easter grass that you could ever possibly imagine that, I know, my stepfather would just cringe that I'm even mentioning the word Easter grass right now. That's an inside joke. but, the reason this was because, you know, there was a time, and again, the Catholic traditions, okay, what else was going on at this time during the Catholic traditions, right? You had Lent, right? And I found this to be kind of really comical, but also really intriguing at the same time, right? The Catholic tradition of Lent would be broken, right? And you would break your fast, breakfast, come on, with eggs. And I thought that that was really awesome. So they would decorate the eggs and they would paint them as kind of like a preparatory end to their fast and celebrate with, you know, the eggs that they would then dine on or eat after Lent was completed. So you get all of these historical facts, you get all of these traditions, and you get all this stuff rolled in into the history behind the egg. And all that's real symbolic. And all those things are things that other people in history have taken and embraced and adopted when it came down to the egg, right? But then I sat and I really spent some time sitting before the Lord, and the Lord opened my eyes to some things, and we're going to go in now to the Word, and we're going to dig in, because prophetically there's even more to the egg. There's so much more. And so we're going to really spend some time digging into the egg, physically and spiritually, but from a prophetic angle. So let's start with the Word. Okay, so today we're going to be starting with just a very simple scripture in John 19, very first verse. Okay, and it says, and I'm in New King James Version. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Scourged him. That's it. Not going to add to it. But I think what we need to understand is what is actually in that scripture. Because when you read that, it's real simple. It's a short verse. It's not many words. You go over it and that's it. And you could pass over that. But the immensity of what was being done in that small passage was tremendous. What was scourging? Well, first you have to understand times, right? So you got to look into what was the time period, what was actually going on at this time, and what did scourging mean according to the customs and the beliefs, where Jesus was located, how they practiced them, what was Pilate deeming was scourging, and the form of scourging. So you got to understand now Pilate, okay, was under rule of Caesar. So he was very much submitted to the Roman form of government. And soldiers and all that stuff are going through, and their practices and how they deal with the, you know, the punishments of prisoners and captives was through this process of scourging. So in the town center, they had a pole, and that pole was about, you know, maybe about waist high, and it had shackles, and it was cement pole, and, you know, I don't want to say cement, but, you know, it was a solid stone pole, and it had the shackles and the steel bindings attached to the pole so that you couldn't unlodge them. You couldn't pull them out. And you were shackled to that pole. You weren't able to run. You weren't able to hide. You weren't able to dodge anything. There was nothing to get behind, nothing to squirm or inch away from. You were exposed. Now, most people who were scourged in this manner did not survive the scourging. They would not survive it. The pain, the immense amount of torture that was given was too much. But this is what Jesus had to go through. So what was happened? Or what happened at this time? Well, they shackled him to the pole. That's the first thing. And then they laid the tools of torture out. The tools of torture were cat of nine tails, rods, sticks, lots of sharp implemented weapons, They didn't always use them all. Sometimes they did. But what we know historically that predominantly Jesus was beaten with was what was customarily proper for the crimes that he was committing, supposedly, which we know was normally 40 lashes with the cat of nine tails. The cat of nine tails is a whip of sorts, but at the end of the whip, it splits out into a certain amount of tethers. And each one of those tethers has usually like glass shards or fangs or hooks of any kind of sort that when they're whipped onto the skin, they latch into the skin and then scrape or scratch the skin. All of these tools or implements were meant to cause really severe injuries. Okay. And here's some of the injuries that you could understand that when he was whipped with this cat of nine tails, he suffered. All right. What happened first was immediately that they would grab into his skin and they would tear and rip the skin, the surface skin of the flesh, and rip and tear. Now, this is not similar to like a paper cut or a laceration, which is very fine and thin. They're jagged. They're very rough. And tearing and ripping is not going to lend itself to either possibly healing or possible ways of recovering. Most of those tears would never recover or heal properly ever. Okay. But the continuation of this now being in the same spot over and over and over again, after that surface skin is ripped, now when those cat of nine tails grab again and again, they're not hitting that surface skin anymore. Now they're hitting into arterial tissue and muscle tissue, and they're ripping and tearing that as well. Included with all of that is a profuse amount of bleeding, the blood of Christ. And if you go to Isaiah, I'm going to turn there real quick, 53. Give me a minute here. I should have bookmarked this, but I apologize. I know that our wonderful servant Ken, Deacon Ken's already got it behind me, right? Amen, brother. So in Isaiah 53, verse 5, states this, and this is again coming from a prophet. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed. And we constantly use that scripture to identify with the beatings and the scourging that Christ has done, because this was the provision. This is what he had to endure so that we would have what was promised here in the prophet. So that brings us to now, the egg. So I'm going to kind of reach over here off screen a little bit. I have an egg. God, I hope these are hard boiled. We'll find out. So I'm going to put one right here. And I'm going to hold on to this one. So, the egg. I did actually tell you there'd be an egg. We have an egg. Okay? Is a very interesting thing. Scientifically, the egg is one of the strongest constructionally formed, naturally constructed form things, because you could put a massive amount of weight on an egg from top to bottom like this and it won't crack. But just a little bit of pressure here on the sides, cracks. So, you know, if you ever need to break an egg, you always crack it on the side, if you didn't know that already. But here's the first thing we look at. When we get to the egg and we start studying the egg, we understand that there is a hard shell, okay? There's hard, okay? We also can understand the eggs come in many colors, right? You could have spotted egg. You can have a brown egg, white egg. I don't know if they're green ones, but, you know, Dr. Seuss says there are. I haven't found a green egg. If you have a green egg, a naturally green egg, not one that's died, I'd like to see it. What does this represent? So this represents us. If we think about it, we're hard, we're rough, we come in many shades, many colors. But in the same context, this represents Christ, his shell, the shell. Very similar to his flesh, right? We go and we read and we go, but he was broken, right? All of his skin was tattered and torn. That scourging process, right? The egg. Broken. Right? How do we get to the inside? We gotta... I'm gonna have to do this off screen because I don't want to make a mess. But I'm going to try to, as best as I possibly can, deshell this egg. I'm being told I can make a mess. We have a vacuum. So I apologize that this is, this process is, I followed the rules. I boiled the egg exactly according to how I'm supposed to do it. It's still taking too long. They say it's easy peel. It's not easy peel. This is totally not easy peel. I did. Well, yeah, I'm not doing it underwater. I don't have running water at the podium. It'd be nice if I did. But we're getting there. We're almost there. If I can do this well enough, I might be able to have the empty tomb. I should have pre-prepared one. I thought about it. I honestly did. I did think about pre-preparing one. But I thought there'd be a little bit more amusement in watching me peel a hard-boiled egg. There you go. Let's see if I... I already pre-deemed the outside. Oh, boy. Oh, no. It's getting there. It's getting there. We're getting there. We are getting there. We're close. We're closer. Even closer. Just think. This is what Jesus had to endure. How about that? Boom. There you go. The empty tomb. Yay! Fun crafts for kids. All right. Now, we have the egg white. Okay? Soft. Pliable. Here's where we start getting some intriguing things. The egg, the albumen, okay, is white. Interesting. Prophetically, what does white mean? Purity, light, holiness, right? Here we have all those things right here, right? After he was beaten and broken, all that shell coming off, right? That external, the physical, the man, right? Being torn and beaten and broken, right? What do we get at the end? When that's all shed, we get holiness, purity, the light of Jesus. Interesting facts about the egg now, nutritionally, right? The egg actually contains protein and all of the needed amino acids, all in one egg, right? It meets our needs. Not our wants, our desires, but our needs. Just like Jesus meets our needs. So now we have all of this contained in the egg, right? Now the next part. I hope I do this well. So we can take the outside of the egg and we can get down to the coolest part. I love this part. I love this. This is such a cool thing. I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as I am, because this is fascinating to me. Oh, come on. Don't quit on me now. You're doing so good. Ha-ha! Huzzah, hooray. It looks like I have a semi-soft-boiled yolk, but that's okay. Probably needed to boil it a little bit longer, so that's probably my fault. But that's okay. But we have the yolk. I hope you guys can see this in all its wonderful detail. I should have probably got a napkin for this part, but that's okay. I'll live. I'm a man. I got this. We good. So, my sister's got me a paper towel. All right. So what is this now? We know this. We know it's yolk, right? We understand the yolk. We get it. What does it mean? Well, let's start at color. First, we have the color of the egg. Yellow. What does yellow mean prophetically? Yellow means resurrection, new life, and hope. How awesome is this? Are you guys getting the details here? Because I hope you understand how, to me, revelationally, this is speaking, because we have some things going on here, and it's coming to a head, so I just bear with me. I don't want to get ahead of myself, right? But in the core of the egg is the new life in Jesus through his resurrection. In the core. So you have to, we have to go through a process, but at the end, there's resurrection and new life. Also, nutritionally, what's in the yolk? A lot of misnomers about the yolk. Believe it or not, there's still protein in the yolk. All the additional protein that you want in a complete egg is actually in the yolk. So if you are foregoing yolks, you're leaving out protein. So if you're expecting a certain amount of grams of protein in your egg and you leave out the yolk, you're missing them. You're also missing vitamins. There are 12 essential vitamins in the yolk of an egg. 12. I'm not going to get into the number. I just think that that's even more incredible. Divine government, right? So all of that is included in the yolk of the egg. Now let's get to the final, right? Let's get to the end. So I put the yolk down. I have a second. All of that, all of those parts are contained in one complete package. We have a complete package in the egg, right? The three in one, the Trinity. The shell is broken, right? And then separated. But what does that mean? When we break that shell and we separate it, it's a reflection of what we must be. We too must be broken. We are responsible to identify with all of the aspects of Jesus. And I find that so many times we get to this part and we get to Easter and we want to celebrate the resurrection, but we want to forget about the price that was paid on the cross. We want to identify with the risen King, but we don't want to identify with the scourging. Are we willing to be there? Are we willing to completely identify with everything that Jesus went through? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if we are. As a group, as a community, as a whole, are we willing to suffer for Christ as much as we are willing to go and enjoy the resurrection of Christ? Food for thought. But the other two parts, right, are the parts that we ingest, right? We enjoy those two other parts, right? We enjoy the full, complete egg. Now, maybe you don't like hard-boiled eggs. Okay, maybe you like scrambled. Mix them together. That's fine. Whatever you like, that's fine. But the point of an egg is to enjoy the egg, to enjoy it by consuming the egg, right? So we consume that egg, right? What does that mean? Well, is that food not coming into you? Is it not dwelling inside of you? Is it not making its fulfillment, all those nutritional elements, those proteins, those amino acids, all those vitamins, finding their will and their purpose in you, in your physical body? Where's the prophetic, right? Let's take it there, right? Jesus dwells with us, in us. When we consume him, he then finds his dwelling place in us, right? John 14, verse 23. I'm getting egg in my Bible, and I don't care. I don't care, because he is worthy. Amen. Egg in the Bible is all good. Just talked about how prophetic it is. Shouldn't matter. So, John 14, verse 23. I can take a time to get it out of my thumbnail. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." Our home. He wants you to be his dwelling place. He wants to reside in you. He wants to dwell in you. You have to then consume him. And so as we go back and reflect on the two parts that are consumed, right? We have his holiness, his righteousness, the purity, the light of Jesus on the albumen of the egg or the egg white, right? And then we have the yolk, right? His resurrection, his hope. Are we getting it? the new life in Jesus. We get all of that, but we have to then partake. We have to consume him. We have to make him have dwelling place and residency in our body and in our existence. And here's the part I thought was awesome. It doesn't matter what the shell looks like. The inside is the same. Every egg, whether it's an ostrich, a duck, whatever type of egg you go for. I don't think quail eggs. I think they're all kind of mixed together in a quail. But most eggs have the same construction, same component. And when you use them, same outcomes. They all have a shell. They have all that stuff inside. The truth of the Easter message is always about Christ. It never will change. He is risen. That is constant and that will be consistent, right? But it's not just about Christ on the cross, and it's not just about Christ leaving the empty tomb. It's about where does Christ go from that moment forward? He left the tomb barren and empty so that he could rejoin with us. It's not about Christ on the cross, it's about Christ in us. It's about Christ having residence in us. It's about us consuming the entity of Christ and having all of him complete in us. As we celebrate Easter and enjoy the salvation we've received already, what about those who still need to see Christ? What about those who are longing for that relationship? What about those who don't have that relationship? If you're here right now and you're watching and you're not sure, you're questioning your salvation or you don't think that you are, there's no day like the present. There's no time like now. It doesn't take a bunch of do's and don'ts. You don't need somebody like me to come and lay hands on you. You don't need to have a prayer and all these wonderful things to have this salvation. No, all you need to do is agree with God that you need him in your life. That without him and apart from him, you're nothing. And that you accept his free and wonderful gift of salvation in your life and you recognize him now as Lord and Savior of your life. By that agreement and by that confession of your faith, you have salvation in Christ Jesus. There's nothing more that needs to be done but then to implement his word every day into your life and to make the changes as he moves in your heart and starts transforming us from the inside out. That's how we become the body of Christ. That's how we become him. That's how people recognize us. It's not me who lives, it's him who lives through me. That's why he wants residence. That's why he wants to abide in us. The transformation starts from the inside and moves out, not from the outside in. Jesus isn't a topical ointment that we just put on our hands and poof, all the germs go away. There's not enough antibacterial soaps and thieves disinfectant stuff and alcohols and all kinds of stuff that's going to cleanse us from sin and cleanse us from unrighteousness. It's an indwelling issue from the inside. He needs to take up residence inside us and clean us from the inside out. That's why we need to take him on. Then go back to the egg. And when we shell the exterior and we get rid of that exterior, that's us, right? When we remove that external and we allow the light of Jesus to shine through us, it's no longer us they see, it's him they see. And that's the true, absolute benefit of what it means to be a Christian, because we don't have to sit around anymore and worry about what we throw on or what we look like or what we dress or how we appear to people. We care more about the fact that you see Jesus. We care more about the fact that you see him being glorified in us day in and day out. That you see the dramatic changes he's making in our lives and how he's prospering us. How he's keeping us safe. How none of us have gotten sick because we know that we are healed in Jesus' name. That no snake or viper can bite us and there's no poison that can come against us that will harm us. We have all this provision through Christ Jesus because he paid for it. He paid for it all. And you don't need to be under it. if you have provision in Jesus to come to him and have all of those wonderful gifts and blessings. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Which I found also interesting. The egg is probably the cheapest source of all those wonderful things of protein and amino acids and vitamins. You can't get anything cheaper than an egg. It's not free, but unless you have chickens. But the question I pose to you today is, will we embrace who Jesus is and reflect him in every area of our lives? Every area. Last scripture for you today comes from John 12, verses 44 through 47. Then Jesus cried out, and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it." It's not about anybody being better than anybody else. It's not about, oh, well, you're a Christian, so you must have it so much better than me. The sun rises on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're no different in that regard. We're not here to judge either. There is no judgment. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world or what set of things are happening around us that are causing one person to be more oppressed and one person to have more favor. Do you think that doesn't happen in the kingdom of God? It does. There are people that are doing well in Christ. There are people that are hurting in Christ. It doesn't matter what the situations are. What matters is that we understand what Jesus was talking about right there. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to bring freedom from darkness. He came to bring freedom from all of the things that could separate us from our eternal glory with God, that could separate us from having a relationship, that could separate us from being connected and being united as one, being the body of Christ that he's designed us to be, helping one another, breaking bread, fellowshipping, exchanging things, gifts, loving on one another, continuing to admonish one another and lift each other up and help each other in times of need. That doesn't happen because, well, we're just really nice people. No, it happens because the light of Jesus propels us to love that way. It happens because the light of Jesus shines through our day and in our lives in ways that we want to make a difference. Yeah, we were quarantined. Yeah, we couldn't do that. You know what we did? Me and Miss Jess, we went and egged the parents of our houses, of our kids' church, Streams Kids. We went and egged their houses. And you're like, well, that's a really Christian thing to do. And I was like, no, not that kind of egging. We went and snuck on their property and we hid eggs for their kids to find. We hid eggs so that they could go and enjoy a festive moment of engaging in a family activity and knowing that we still care. We still love them. We miss them entirely. We wanted to see their faces. So part of the challenge was they had to send a picture of them as a family with the completed riddle that we gave them. And they all participated and it was a great time. And we loved having that time. We missed them. And so that's not because we selfishly are judging anybody or that we're trying to be better than another church or that we're trying to do something better than somebody else. No, it's because the love of Jesus wants to reach out. The love of Jesus wants to interact. The love of Jesus wants us to hug and kiss and love on each other and to greet one another and brother and sister with a kiss and to break bread with each other in fellowship and thanksgiving, to come in together in a congregation and sing praises and worship him in spirit and truth. That's the objective. That's what being a Christian is all about. So back to this Easter egg. As an Easter egg, it doesn't matter what you dress up on. If we are the Easter egg, right? It doesn't matter what we wear on the exterior, what color you dye yourself. The outside appearance matters so little when you reckon that it needs to be broken and discarded. So that the true nature of Jesus, the light of Christ, will shine through. So the question or the challenge today on this Easter Sunday is, are we more focused on how Christian we appear or trying to appear something similar to what the world would like us to be as some kind of secret agent Christian? Or will we commit to the full sacrifice of Jesus and embrace the full resurrection of Jesus as this life I have is actually his? When we come to agree that I don't get part of Jesus, I get all of him. That means every good and every not so good thing that Jesus went through, I have. That I embrace and that I'm willing to walk through for his name's sake. That means we might not be the most liked. Because if you think Jesus was loved everywhere he went, he wasn't. He was kicked out and unwelcomed in certain places, especially his home. There are times when he spoke and people listened. There are times where he spoke and people walked away. Did it change who he was? Did it change his message? Did it change his approach? Did it change his care for all mankind? Did it change his destination? No. Do we have the same level of commitment? Do we have the same level of follow through? Do we have the same cause for Christ? That we're going to let all of the things that we think matter the most be broken and discarded so that we can have the fullness of Christ, his holiness, his righteousness, the resurrection, the new life, and the hope of Jesus, all in those other parts. Recognizing that that third part is the part where we identify with that death on the cross, where Jesus paid for it all. You'll hear it here at Streams all the time. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves every day because our self wants to rear its ugly head and continue to rob the opportunities that Jesus wants for us for the day. But we have to put that down so that the light of Jesus can continue to shine through. So this Easter, when you're home with your family and you're enjoying that time, whether you like the fact that you're quarantined or not, it doesn't change the fact that this moment, this day, was made to really bring honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for what he has done, the complete and fullness of everything he has done, from the cross to the grave, to the complete mockery he made of Satan and everything he tried to do by conquering death, reigning on high, and waiting for his bride to rise up. I leave you with just these words. Commit today. If you haven't made the commitment to Christ, commit to Christ. Commit your walk. Commit your ways to Christ. If you've already been saved and you're not sure if you're walking straight, it's okay. Commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your time, your energy, and your purpose to nothing but spending it before the Lord so that you can become who Jesus wants you to be. Because objectively, it's not about us. It's about him. And we have to get that down. To be who he wants us to be, we have to get that part down, that it's not about us, it's about him. I hope today you enjoyed your Easter. I hope that this message has blessed you richly this morning. As we close out, I just want to again remind everybody that we are continuing to do a great and mighty work at Streams. We're continuing to serving the body. We're continuing to help those in need. We're continuing to reach out to our families and our neighbors and everybody that we can to continue to share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as you guys continue to commit to the time here engaged with us in our digital service, I just want to thank you guys for your continued faithfulness to watching and watching us on YouTube, you know, subscribing there and watching us on Facebook Live as we're broadcasting. And I just want to thank you guys for your continual commitment to continue putting forth your fruits and your offerings to Streams on our website. You can give online again and just continue to support Streams as we go through this together as a family. We thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts. We miss you entirely. You can't understand it. So I'm giving you the biggest virtual hug you can all imagine. And the love of Jesus finds you on this wonderful Easter day. Thank you guys. God bless.